Welcome to Amplify, the personal brand business show. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Mike Young.
What's made us successful for the last four generations is that we allow each person to play to their strengths, and we lift those up and we honor them. And when their weaknesses show up, we let them know that, hey, this is a weakness and this has showed up, but we're not going to let it define you. We're going to let you work through it, or we're going to help you work through it. And honestly, you know, I think that's what makes our family. And I think it makes, if you really wanted to dig in and do a study on any multi-generational business, you're going to find that same thing, that when people stumble, you don't stomp on them. You pick them up, you love them, you dust them off, and you help them right their ways.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Personal Brand Business Show. My name is Bob Gentle, and every week I speak to amazing people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing your expertise and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, then while you still have your device in your hand, take a second to subscribe. And if you're feeling really enthusiastic, you could leave a 5-star review even before you've heard anything. You may as well, while you still have all the energy. This week, I am really excited to have Mike Young join us on the podcast. It's going to be a really interesting take. I have so many questions, and I just want to get stuck into asking them. But before I do, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Glad to be here.
So, yeah, I want to dive straight into the questions, but it's unfair to do that without inviting you to maybe tell us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and what you do. So, Mike, can you perhaps introduce yourself for us?
Thanks, Bob. Like you said, Mike. My name's Mike Young. I live in Bakersfield, California, which is about 2 hours north of Los Angeles in Central California. We're a small farming and oil and ag community, a very resource-driven commodity. Community. I'm a fourth generation family business operator. I work with my brother, my cousin-in-law, my dad, my uncle. And for, I think what's unique about our family, we operate in ag and real estate, agriculture and real estate. And what's unique about our family is for the last four generations, everyone that's been born into the family has actually worked in the family. My great grandfather immigrated from the German Swiss border in a town called Vigus back right before the turn of the 1900s. And he actually immigrated, came to the United States in an unconventional way, as he didn't come through Ellis Island. He actually went around the tip of South America and came through San Francisco, and made his way down to San Francisco and landed in Bakersfield because it reminded him a lot of the community that he came from in Germany. And he had some ag roots in Germany, but never really planted him there. And when he got here, he decided he wanted to be a farmer. And so that's what he taught his two kids to do, was to be farmers. And that's how our legacy started here in Kern County.
It's really interesting. He bypassed everything to get to the best bit. I think I had a look at Bakersfield on the map, and it just looks like a lovely place. It would be nice to visit. Now, you wrote a book recently called The Farmer's Code. I don't know how recently you wrote it, but it just got published. And I've had a look at it, and it really got me thinking. I operate in the online business world, and in the online business world, everybody's used to doing things fast. And a lot of the time, businesses come and they go. But your business got me thinking that the online business world is very new. It hasn't got the time to allow for a second generation online business at the moment. But I am quite sure they'll come. And I thought for a lot of my listeners, it might be really interesting to hear what multi-generation business looks like, because there's lots of ways businesses can evolve and grow. And I think the way that businesses, really successful businesses with longevity, have evolved over the centuries, to bring that into the online space could be really interesting. So why don't we start just by you tell us a little bit about the book, and then we can maybe roll from there.
Yeah, thank you. So the book, The Farmer's Code, How Legacies Are Built, it originally started in I started to write it as my grandmother, who was approaching 100, and I wanted to write a book about her legacy. And as I dove in and started writing the book, I realized that there's kind of this pattern, this code of what she passed down from her generation was passed down to her and to the next generation and to us, and that we're passing down to the fifth, that that seemed like that's where the bigger story was. And that's with the success of, you know, our family's legacy. You know, there's a study, there's been quite a number of studies, but Harvard did a study on the number of multi-generational family businesses in the United States anyway. Only 3% of them last after three generations. And there's not even any record of how many last four generations. You know, as I approached writing the book, before I was writing the book, I got lots of questions about, like, you know, how do you work with your dad and your brother and your uncle and your cousin and yada, yada, yada. And not only that, how do you work with them, but how do you play with them? Because you guys seem to always be so happy and you work hard and you play hard. And my answer has always been, I don't know any different. And I honestly can't imagine any different. And so I had a number of questions about, like, you know, so what's the secret sauce to that? So the book actually became more than just a legacy of my grandmother, who's now 102, to more of like, what's the secret sauce of actually leaving a legacy? And so that's how the book kind of started. And then it kind of transformed into, you know, how can we all step into the world and leave the world a better place than it was handed to us?
So there's lots of places I could go with this, but the book is called The Farmer's Code. And I'm imagining, to an extent, it does codify that secret sauce. And for me, that's the big question, because you've got lots of people with different value systems, potentially, different ambitions, different goals personally. How do you integrate all of that? And is that essentially the job of the Farmer's Code, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, essentially the Farmer's Code, the code is, it can be translated across any person, any industry. It doesn't really matter. The code is how we build ourselves up to leave a legacy that's going to last well beyond us. The Farmer's Code is basically, agriculture is just used as an analogy throughout the book of what we do in farming, cultivating, planting, maintaining, harvesting, marketing. You know, that's just an analogy to much of what the code is. But the code translates across all platforms.
And when you write a book like this, you write it with an aim of wanting to make an impact and wanting people to understand something that you feel is really important. So how would you summarize the mission of the book, I guess?
Yeah, there's a quote in the book. It's by Peter Stropel. He's one of the US's leading relationships experts. And he says, legacy is not something that we leave for people. It's something we leave in people. And honestly, that's the basis of the book, is how can we work? How can we live in community and relationships to make an impact that can change the world, you know? And so the book is essentially about that. And that's, you know, how you develop your own code to create your own positive legacy. Listen, we're all going to leave a legacy when we leave this earth, regardless if we know it or not. And it's either going to be a positive legacy or it's going to be a negative legacy. And, you know, what my hope is for people that read the book are like, all right, I want to make an amazing impact in the world. And so how do I do that? And so the book breaks that down. It's broken into four parts. First is, I call it me. So in order to leave a legacy, we've got to understand ourselves. We've got to know who we are at our core, so that we can go out and change the world. If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead others. And so the first part is about understanding who we are as a person, what makes us tick, what our triggers are, so we can recognize those things in order to impact others. And then it's about impacting your immediate community, your family, your wife, your kids, the people that are in your small circle, close friends, maybe some close colleagues. And then it's a pack, and that's what I call them. And then there's them to come. And then that's the community kind of outside. It's the next ring outside of your immediate community. And it's the code is about how we build a relationship with people along the way through our walk of life so we can create a bigger impact in this world.
A legacy within a family makes sense. Legacy within a small community, it makes perfect sense. Legacy beyond that is something I think a lot of people don't really A, understand, or B, necessarily aspire to. But when you look at the mission of a business, that's really what it's all about. And I think understanding legacy coupled with a business and the business's mission, how, I guess, is that farmer's code unfolding within your own organization? I think that's something I'm quite curious about.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the success of a lot of businesses is the longevity of a business, I think, is based on how well they're actually touching their customer, which is basically touching the world and creating a positive impact on it. You know, it's much like you throw a pebble into or a rock into a calm river, and you've got this ripple effect, right? And it ripples all across the lake until you've got this outer ring. And whatever you create, if you're creating it with love, if you're creating it with integrity, and you're creating it with respect, it doesn't matter what business it is. If you're in a service business like you, and the online service business, or if you're building a widget, but if you treat your employees, if you can treat your customers, if you treat your vendors with the same love and respect that you would hopefully treat yourself and your family, you're gonna create a legacy that's a business legacy that's gonna last generations, but you're gonna create a legacy long beyond that.
I think what I like about that, what I'm listening to, is it demands of us to be role models. And in multi-generational business, that role model is a legacy. It's you will have modeled your elders who will have modeled their elders. And there's almost like a moral genetic history there. In a lot of businesses, you don't see a strong moral component to the business.
Right.
It may be there, it may not be there, but it's often not visible. At the moment, obviously, you don't want to be the last generation. So how does that color how you move through your day and how you integrate the younger generation into the business in order that they can model you, you're available to model, but also that they start to understand that the business is bigger than just a job and their own ambitions?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And I mean, that's the question that we try to answer every day. But listen, I don't think it changes. If little kids, either little, big, I mean, I've got big kids now. I've got teenagers, and I've got twin kids that are, you know, my oldest is 25, and they've been watching us our whole life. And not just me and my wife, but our whole family, because we work together and we play together. And so they, and especially little kids, they pick up on the simplest things. And so being able to model love, respect, integrity, these are things that we do on a daily basis, and they just, you know, hopefully they absorb them. Now, I will tell you though, that like my grandmother grew up in an environment that where she didn't have great role models. Her father was an alcoholic. He was abusive. It wasn't a healthy environment for her to grow up into, but she had the gumption or the foresight to say, okay, I'm done. I'm not passing the track, you know, the garbage bag, essentially, to the next generation. I'm going to change what was modeled to me because I know there's something better in life beyond that. And so she really started and, you know, chose to model love, chose to model strength, chose to model respect. And so instead of passing the garbage bag to the next generation, she chose to pass the baton of something that's more special. So, you know, I think as far as like passing it on to the next generation, it's all about how we model it to them. And it's the same, it goes no different than what we already talked about. You have to do the same thing with your employees and your vendors and your clients. If you can, you know, if you're doing it, if you're just consistent across the board, that's where impact comes, because people then understand that it's genuine and it's not fake. It's authentic and it's really coming from the core and it's coming from the heart. And that's what's most important.
What's fascinating to me as you're speaking, I'm reflecting back on all the business owners I've known my whole life. And I've worked with businesses and business owners my whole life. And there are so many different characters with so many different value sets. There are people I can look at and think, I really admire you and who what you stand for. And many who I just couldn't say that of. And of those multi-generational businesses, this strong character is really important. If there isn't a strong character there, and what I mean by that is a core running through the business that is something that's worthy of admiration, as opposed to very egotistical, very, very financially driven. I hesitate from saying questionable morality, but questionable morality. Those businesses they're never multi-generational. The ones that last are the ones where integrity runs through them like a ribbon in the middle that you can't separate that from the business. It's fascinating. And I think something that I've been very aware of is that business growth and personal growth go hand in hand.
Yep.
What's interesting listening to you is that multi-generational business goes with generational growth hand in hand. If you aren't properly inspiring those who are coming next, the business can't really continue. They have to grow into that code, if you like. Otherwise, it's not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, and I mean, that's 100% correct. And that's not to say that it's all, you know, rainbows and unicorns either, because in a family business, it's still hard. You know, we still get at each other's throats, and there's still times that you're irritated by other people and they rub you the wrong way. And it's even harder in a family business. But I think what's been modeled to us and what our family has learned over time, that listen, everyone's got their strengths, everyone's got their weaknesses. And if we let what's made us successful for the last four generations is that we allow each person to play to their strengths, and we lift those up and we honor them. And when their weaknesses show up, we let them know that, hey, this is a weakness and this has showed up, but we're not going to let it define you. We're going to let you work through it, or we're going to help you work through it. And honestly, you know, I think that's what makes our family. And I think it makes, if you really wanted to dig in and do a study on any multi-generational business, you're going to find that same thing, that when people stumble, you don't stomp on them. You pick them up, you love them, you dust them off, and you help them right their ways.
And I think that's what I like about family businesses when they're done right, is they are a loving, supportive environment that nurtures, rather than what you often find in a traditional commercial organization, which is thrive or die.
Yeah.
It's very, very different. What I'd like to speak about, I think, is there'll be people listening who have businesses. Everyone listening probably has a business of some kind. And whenever you speak to entrepreneurs, they always have the exit in mind. And there's lots of different ways to exit a business. You can sell it, you can earn out. There's lots of different ways. But what most people haven't considered is simply nurturing the next generation and letting them grow into it. And that you gradually maybe step aside. If somebody's thinking, you know what, I never thought about this, I possibly could think about this, what advice would you have for them, how they might go about beginning? What do they need to think about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, I think that's something that I've been lucky to be involved in on what I'm going to say, like the right side of the fence, because my dad and my uncle, who are the generation ahead of us, they kind of gave myself and my brother and my cousin-in-law, they gave us the reins and said, listen, we grew this business to a certain area. We know that you guys have got bigger ideas, brighter ideas, and let us be your coach. Let us be your mentor. And you guys now take the reins and run. Where I know a lot of first or second generation family owners that, you know, they've got a matriarch or a patriarch that hangs on to the family reins until they're 85 or 90 and dead, and never allowed the generation before, but in front of them or behind them to learn. And that mentorship and that coaching that I received from my dad and my uncle, that's the most important thing. And I think I probably learned as far as family legacy goes than anything is that is key. And so like in our next generation, we've got 9 or 11 in the next generation, and not all of them will work in the family business. Maybe none of them, but what we can do is coach them and mentor them in whatever they are doing, so that when they eventually are shareholders in this business and they're working together, they understand the importance of, well, number one, love and respect and strength and integrity, but number two, the importance of coaching and mentoring to make sure that this thing carries on well beyond them.
I think there'll be people listening thinking this isn't relevant to me, but what's fascinating is I did a little bit of a look around the online world to look at where are the seeds of today's multi-generational online businesses. And they are there. I mean, I look, Michael Hyatt, who's a very well-known guy in the online space, his daughter is essentially running the business now. The Zig Ziglar organization is a second generation coaching business now.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of this coming around. And what's interesting is to look at how businesses get stronger through the generations. You see this quite often, that the first generation of the business, it struggled. It maybe failed multiple times, but when it was handed over, it was kind of okay. But the next generation turned it into something completely different. If somebody is thinking about maybe bringing somebody else into a business, maybe a child or something like this, what conversations should they be having when they start thinking about this? Obviously, long before the child's ready. I guess there's a danger of you oversteering them or being overbearing or controlling. How do you manage that whole thing?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, because it's how we're kind of working with the next generation now in our family is, you know, they know that they've grown up in this family business. They know, you know, that we're in agriculture and we're in real estate and we've got other investments and stuff. And that there's ancillary businesses that actually, you know, kind of run along those. And they know they've got the opportunity to possibly do something in that business. But we don't want to keep them reined in or tied down, because, you know, we might have like a super creative that doesn't fit in one of those categories. So ultimately what we want them to do is to be able to be happy and do something that's going to make them feel like they're creating an impact in the world. And, you know, I've always said that if you don't come into the family business, that's okay. But when you want to go out and start your own thing, know that you've got some seed funding or maybe some coaching or some mentoring behind you to help you grow that, because and then, you know, that continues to be part of our legacy. I mean, it may not be the roots of agriculture, but it all ties back to the land in some way. And so that's kind of how we're handling it right now. And it's, you know, it's similar to the way it was handled in our generation, but you know, in the next generation, they're, you know, I'm excited to actually watch to see how it plays out. I think it's going to be fun.
So another thing I'd like to speak about is, obviously, you've come from being, in the online sense, quiet. You were a business owner. You got on with your life. You got on with your business. You did really well. You've written a book, and the book asks certain things of you. So you've had to go from being very limited in terms of your online visibility to, okay, I need to be super visible now to promote this book. And anyone listening, have a look at Mike C. Young on LinkedIn. It is a masterclass on quality visibility. But I'm really interested to hear how personally you've found that, because I know it's not easy to go from being modestly visible to suddenly having to be consistently very visible.
It was a struggle, I will tell you that. When writing the book and getting toward close to publishing, I realized through the publisher that, like, you know, we need to know what your personal brand is so we can match your colors and your fonts. And I'm like, a personal brand? I've got a logo for our business. And they're like, no, what's your personal brand? So I had to figure that out. And so I, with the help of good friend, Ruby Zentino at Charisma Co., she worked with me on my personal branding and really taught me about actually what that is and then how you present that to the world. And, you know, it's everything from the cover of the book to the type of font we use to the colors that you present to the world. And that was an education for me, you know. But then along with that, it's selling your brand, and it's becoming an authority in a space so you can sell a book about something that you've done for four generations. That's natural, but you know, you've got to let the world know about it. That was super hard for me.
Yeah.
I've always been just kind of looky-loo on social media and never really been the kind of person that wants to be out there, because I've always felt that it didn't feel authentic and it felt very ego-driven. And it's just, that's just not the core of who I am. And it's not really the core of who our family is. But what I learned through this process and through Ruby's help is that if you're being authentic with what you're doing and you're presenting it to the world in an authentic way, it's not inauthentic. And it just took actually doing that. You know, I don't want to be the influencer that's like, you know, that's disgusting and makes me ill every time I see it. But once I can present myself to the world in a way that feels right, it's become easier. I'm still not going to say it's easy, but it's become a lot easier over the course of the last year to actually develop that brand and share it with the world.
I think that word influencer is so tainted, unjustly, because an influencer has some influence, is having an influence on people. That's actually everything you described as what you want to influence people. And yeah, your content online does that really well, but I'm not surprised it's difficult, because as somebody I know to be modest and self-effacing, suddenly thrusting your face all over social media, it's not easy. It's painful. But it's an interesting question always. What does my business ask of me? What does the mission ask of me? And it's much easier then to do what's required.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, my mission is to impact and change the world and leave it a better place. I mean, I wrote a book about legacy, and the only way I could get out and really, you know, honor that is to actually share it with the world. And social media is an easy place. You know, it's a great platform to do that. And so I think once I got over that hump, the understanding that you can be authentic, you can share your ideas in a genuine way, that you can make an impact in the world you touch. And I agree. I used influencer in the wrong way. So thanks for checking me up on that. But it's just like legacy, because legacy, you're either going to leave a positive legacy or a negative legacy. And it's the same with an influencer. It's going to be negative or positive. I mean, we're both kind of leaving legacies on the social media platform in that sense anyway.
Yeah, I think influencer, it is one of those words where nobody has a positive image of what an influencer is, because anybody that identifies as an influencer is probably doing it for the wrong reasons. But on that note, I am curious to know, so when we put the stuff out into the world, a lot of the time it goes out into a vacuum, we don't hear much back. And sometimes we do get a glimmer of, actually, we've had an impact. Now, the book is fairly new. It was January that you launched it.
Yeah, January 2nd.
So it is early days, but I'm curious to know, have you had much feedback from people that have read it or have been influenced in any way?
Yeah, honestly, that's been the fun thing. I was just talking about this with my wife last night. You know, originally I wrote this book, and it was for the family. It was honestly something that we could pass down to the next generation and the generation after that, and they could understand, you know, kind of the soft skills of leaving a family legacy and a family business. And as I got into writing it, you know, I realized this is probably more than just the family. So, you know, through a few acts of God, I'm going to say that I got the book actually published for a broader audience. And what's really been interesting and what's been fun to see is like the reviews on Amazon or on Goodreads or whatever. And, you know, at the beginning you had your circle of friends that, you know, they wrote it because they had to write it. But to watch some of the reviews beyond that of people I don't even know, I told Ruby the other day, I was walked into church, and we go to a church of about 3,000 people. It's a huge church. And someone came up to me and she's like, "You're that author." And I'm like, I mean, I'm that author. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm an author. And she said, "No, I've seen you on social media, and I read your book, and thank you for the book. And it's really made me think about, you know, how I step into the world." And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that's the impact that, that I want to make.
So if you were doing it all again, I guess not all of it, because it goes back four generations, but from the genesis of, okay, I want to write a book, to publishing it, to establishing your personal brand online, what would you do differently?
That's a great question. Yeah, I honestly don't know that I would do anything differently. Maybe I would have started with the social media thing a little bit earlier and kind of tapped into that a little bit earlier. But I really don't think so. For me, I felt like, you know, the way it progressed was the way God outlined it to be. And so I feel like I wouldn't change anything about it.
And I guess if people want to find out more about Mike C. Young and the Farmer's Code, how can they do that?
Yeah, MikeCYoung.com. You can download a free chapter of the book. There's also some other resources on there. I've got a Bible study that accompanies the book, and there's a leadership workbook that accompanies the book. So if you want it from more of a secular sense, there's a leadership side, and then there's a Bible study side, and then, of course, the free chapter. And you can find the book at Amazon, and most places books are sold.
And it's Amazon bestseller, has to be said.
Amazon bestseller. Yes. So, that was the other thing going to, I would never dreamt that or imagine that.
Yeah. No, congratulations on that. So Mike, I have taken a lot of your time. I'm very grateful for the chance to chat. I always forget this last question. It's so dangerous that I commit myself to asking this question every time I do an interview, but I've only forgotten it once, and it was close. What's one thing you do now that you wish you'd started 5 years ago?
One thing I do now, 5 years ago, definitely cold water therapy. I start, you know, about a year ago, I started cold showers in the morning. No hot showers. Wake me up. I mean, like, knock me out of my socks. Type of cold shower in the morning. And it's led to actually cold plunge. So I've got a tub that's cold. And so I take a warm shower in the morning and I hop in that cold plunge. And I tell you, it is phenomenal. What it does for my body, like, it feels like the inflammation just drips off of me. But it's like the mindset too. Like, you get out of a warm shower and then you got to go jump in 42 degree water. It's, you know, it's not easy. But if you can get over that, man, you can learn a lot about yourself with cold water therapy. So definitely cold water therapy. 5 years ago, I wish I would have started.
That's a really good answer. It's the first time I've had that answer. But as a guy who lives in cold, miserable Scotland, it's bad enough already. If I lived in nice, sunny Bakersfield, fine. I'd do the cold water. cold water is just getting up in the morning for me.
That's right.
Mike, this has been a blast. I am really grateful for your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it. And I really love your show.
Thank you. You're the best. That does bring us to the end of another episode. Thank you at home for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, you're the best, YouTube. Like and subscribe. If you did enjoy the show, you will love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. It's 50 pages of everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. Just visit amplifyme.agency/roadmap. Again, if you want to find out more about Mike, it's mikecyoung.com. Thanks for listening or watching, and see you next time.
Thanks, Bob.